We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go.
Afternoons on The Score.
This is the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of my first gout outbreak. My
shellfish towers all around.
My whole family, they all had gout. I've got a photo of it.
I'd love to see that photo of that gout foot.
The first day of the tournament in 09, I couldn't help but notice it felt like my big toe on my left foot was broken. What the hell is going on with my left foot? By 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had to wave the white flag on the day. I had a few drinks and stopped because it hurt. And about 3 days later, doctor says, well, you have gout.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such telethons as Out With Gout 88 and Let's Save Tony Orlando's House.
I learned about gout from you.
Gout.
Yeah, the gout thing was a three-week episode from hell. I couldn't put a shoe on for 3 weeks.
Sounds miserable.
It was awful. The pressure of a bed sheet on your foot feels like a million pieces of glass. I was seriously thinking about going Ronnie Lott and cutting off my big toe on my left foot.
The gout thing, my doctor was like, you can totally manage it. She's like, all you have to do, you just have to avoid like beer and any food you might find at a barbecue. Yeah, all I heard was, you're gonna die. That's what I heard. I know she was saying other words, but all I heard was like, you've met the shepherd that is going to guide you into the great beyond, Kyle. And that shepherd's name is gout.
What is the gout?
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Welcome to hour number 2. McNeil and Spiegel at Draft Picks in Naperville, 523 Fairway Drive. It's our Miller Lite Feel Good Friday What's on Tap broadcast, and I hate to break it to you on the air, but there is no record of the gout song that you so wonderfully produced 10 years ago, man.
It was the first song that we did together in that incarnation of our radio lives.
Was it really?
It was. It was the first thing we did because you had the gout attack pretty quickly. We started June 15th.
Yes, at 3 months after the great gout break of 09. Yes.
So that's what we did. And you were describing the gout. It's so funny because I remember that exact reference of the bed sheet.
The bed sheet.
I was waiting for it.
The pressure of the bed sheet. Oh, yes.
Is he going to talk about the pressure of the bed sheet?
And you did. You did indeed talk about
there
the pressure
is.
Of the bed.
There it is.
Check all the boxes.
All right. He's got the same material.
But yeah, I sang gout. Gout, no salmon or trout.
Yep, you know? Yep. Steaks and venison I'll be doing without.
Yeah,
something
must have
like
been.
That.
Must
my
have been.
My towel.
Ow! I think there was an ow in there.
Yeah. Ow, no. My
that was
towel.
You. That's yeah. Right. See, that was the combination.
So we can re-rack it if we ever desire.
I think the world is good. I think the world is ready to move on.
Speaks.
You and me doing Tears for Fears.
Oh, sports radio. We're not. Our waters don't run deep on a lot of topics. I mean, you are steeped in film and music knowledge outside of sports.
I try to be steeped in everything.
You are in a lot of areas.
I'm ridiculously curious, and that has never stopped, and I hope it will never, ever stop.
Medical issues, however, escape your skill set.
I leave that to Dr. Bernstein.
Yep.
As I always have.
Good choice.
Anything having to do with bones, I call our friend Dr. Mark Bowen, who is the best in the business.
Fantastic orthopedic surgeon.
Yes. And then when I need to know about the shoulder, I listen to you.
Listen to
or,
me.
Or gout.
And
or
I got it all from Mark Bowen initially.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I hear a lot. We all say and do dumb things from time to time. And, you know, he said Black Widow's more of a spider than a snake recently. He said, yes.
You think?
It is much more of a spider than a snake. Connor McKnight, Kentucky Derby, was wondering how horses come from Ireland to the States. They fly them, oddly enough. So we've all... Dustin Rhodes, the morning show producer, thought gout was contagious.
That's tremendous.
When they did a 5-5 on Scorehouse, what the concerns were of other people putting people off, and somebody brought up Zawoski and McNeil being guys who suffer from gout, and we're going to infect the house.
Oh, that's tremendous.
That's what Dustin suggested. It's contagious.
See, those are my favorite things, because we can all mess up a figure of speech here or there. You remember long ago when I said, boy, you really opened up a can of wax on that one.
Sure.
You know, not a can of worms or a ball of wax, and yeah. You know, and you own that, and you laugh at that. But when there's like a little bit of basic knowledge that has just evaded you somehow for your entire life.
Yes.
It's like the day that Barry Rosner, the day that Barry Rosner realized that pickles are actually cucumbers that are then treated to become pickles.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
He didn't.
It happened during a break because I was eating these sweet and spicy pickles, and he said, it's amazing, huh? And they just grow like that. Just incredible.
They look just like you did.
They did a slow turn. Oh. I'm like, oh, my God.
What an idiot.
He thought there was a sweet and spicy pickle tree somewhere. And where's the kosher dill pickle tree? Oh, that's somewhere else.
That's so funny.
I know. So those kind of things, like when we're intelligent humans, but we've just missed some basic fact along the way.
That is incredible. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they keep coming back for,
Speaks. Amen. I agree. It's best to have a sense of humor about it. Be listening today for your chance to qualify for a spot in the final, where you'll have a chance to win Cubs season tickets when you hear Pat Hughes call Javi Baez a steal of home during the show today. Be caller number 6 to the Scores contest line at 312-591-6700, and you will win entry. We'll give away the tickets at our special show in the lobby of the Prudential Building, courtesy of Sweetwater Tavern and Grill on Michigan Avenue. We talked about it a little bit in transition. Ja Morant of Murray State, the point guard. My God, he was brilliant and so fun to watch. And I know we're going to get a chance to talk about it with Teddy Greenstein. I'm looking forward to it. But I have been laughing cynically about how Ja Morant was destined to be a Bull since the beginning of the year, because it's a Zion consolation prize, you know, was the thought. Yet another point guard, as, you know, Gar seems to travel around the world, bring a point guard back from different places, and John Paxson puts a sticker in his book. Great, you've brought me a point guard from here and from there. And also the Murray State-Iowa State connection. Coaches from Murray State have been at Iowa State and vice versa. And Cameron Payne was a Murray State guy.
Right.
So, like, oh, my God, this is Gar Pak's destiny. And then you watch a few games, and you're like, all right, he's actually really good. And then you see yesterday, in the pressure of the tournament against a team like that, and you realize, you know what? That might be an unbelievably great fit for the Bulls. It might be not just a consolation prize, but when you think about what this team actually has right now, if you want to think about it that way, you insert a point guard like that, and you let Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter do their thing on the front line, and Zach LaVine continues to evolve, and you move on from the Chris Dunn experience. Holy hell, that could actually work out really, really well.
Okay, you're on board with it then. Now you're rooting for that now. Is that how far you've come?
Well, I don't think they're going to end up with the one pick. And if they don't end up with the two pick, then they're not getting Ja Morant either.
You're convinced.
I'm now
Zion and then Morant.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But I'm now comfortable with one or two. If they get one and they have to go with Zion, okay, fine. All right.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, Zion's got work to do from the perimeter as well. He's a brilliant athlete and, you know, incredibly passionate performer. But, boy, those skills yesterday, that was special.
Yeah, it was
stuff. Really
good. He can penetrate, but he's more comfortable just distributing.
He's in control, like ball on a string. Well, let's talk to Teddy about it as well.
He is Mr. College Basketball when he's not being Mr. Golf or Mr. Big Ten Football for the Chicago Tribune. Teddy G, thank you for driving out to the burbs, man. Welcome to coming out where people live.
Wouldn't have missed it for anything, boys.
Going on, man. I know you love college hoops and have covered it for years and years and years, Teddy. When I'm watching Ja, like I had a friend of mine saying, he's Allen Iverson. I'm like, no. He's a more willing passer than Allen Iverson. Like I don't know what he's going to be, but I know he's as quick as any point guard you've seen recently. And just the ability to pace the game and do whatever the hell he wants, no matter what the other team is throwing at him, seems very, very special.
I heard another good one the other day, Latrell Sprewell. I mean, in terms of his just explosion to the rim. And then some people, I know you guys were talking about him before, is one of the most polarizing guys of the last, what, 10, 15 years? Derrick Rose. There's a little bit of that, too, as a guy. Cause, I mean, Derrick, in his heyday, he racked up some assists, too. But you're absolutely right about Ja. Now, my concern when I'm watching this last night is, all right, so he's clearly the number two, and I think R.J. Barrett is the number three. And, oh, yeah, wait, where are the Bulls going to be picking in this draft?
Four, five,
that would
six.
Be so sad this year.
Right now, they have a 25.7% chance of getting the sixth pick. Then the next pick after that is seven.
It's wishful thinking on your part.
Yeah, then one, two, three, and four goes 12.5, 12.2, 11.9, 11.5. That's where they are.
It just seems like there's a clear top three. And I think Ja is playing his way in at number two, but R.J. Barrett is going to be a fantastic pro. So this draft is going to have, it looks like, three potential superstars, or at least all-star-type players. So, man, if anybody knows some voodoo or something to get the Bulls in the top three, go ahead and do it.
The Sprewell comparison is generous. I like it. But the Sprewell, even as a young player, though, was a physical presence. Ja, not so much yet, right?
Well, I mean, he's
I know he's going to be a point guard, but he's going to need some weight room time.
I mean,
time,
he's not going to strangle a coach. If that's what you mean by physical presence.
Or tug a coach's tie.
Well, Sprewell was wiry. He was wiry, especially at Alabama.
Springy.
And super springy. But also didn't really have range on the shot. You know, like, he was an in-between guy. He was an 18 or a 16-footer kind of guy who could also explode to the rim. But this is a point guard. You know, this is a distributor. He seems to be an incredibly comfortable distributor. I'm watching him thinking, all right, is he going to be better than Mike Conley? Is he going to be better in the pros than Mike Conley?
Hope so.
I think so. But, you know, Conley's a pretty damn good pro, and that's a lefty point guard who can pass and shoot. So he's at least that, I think. But, you know, you want to aim higher than that.
You definitely do. But, Speaks, I couldn't agree more in terms of what the Bulls are right now, what they need. I mean, one of the key things we've learned this year is that Chris Dunn is not a starting point guard in the NBA. I'm sorry, man.
Nope.
Good attitude, good defender, likable guy, good team guy.
Great story.
He's a 15-minute-a-game guy. He's just not a scorer. He's not a creator. That's what the Bulls desperately need.
Well, the one good thing that came out of one of John Paxson's many appearances, his several appearances, I should say, this past spring, this late winter, was when he talked about the rest of the season being an audition for Chris Dunn.
Right.
And he was forthright about that. And he's not past the audition. So you don't have to watch that movie again next year.
God, with Parkins, on the shelf or smoking or drinking, shouldn't we have Pax on the show today? He'd be happy to come on.
Go get some of the guys I can't talk to when he's here.
It's a long list.
We can put a guest on every hour, probably, maybe every 30 minutes.
Roenick, right. Was that also on the Parkins
list? Oh, no, Roenick, I don't think he's got an anti-Parkins sign hung out in front. I don't think so.
Who does? What's that list? Is that public or no?
No.
Okay.
Teddy hit the
hit the biggie.
Yeah. The first member of the crew, and several followed in line.
Can't do it.
Did you learn anything in your time around the Bulls? You've been on the Bulls beat from time to time.
Yep.
About Jim Boylan, that would make a Bulls fan feel more positive. It looks like he's the guy again next year.
He's the guy. He's going to soak up, you know, some losses if things don't go well. Management likes him a lot. It was strange. He comes in, you know, like a tough guy football coach, right? And he's going to change the culture. These guys are out of shape. I'm going to make them do push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and all that ridiculous stuff. And then he really throttled back quickly when he learned that that stuff's not going to work up here. And now he's suddenly like the player's guy. Zach LaVine wants to you know, dip into his wallet to pay his fine. I mean, that actually was a big moment because early on, he's given Zach a hard time. Zach was not, I mean, both on the court and off the court, man. Zach was not buying in. Jim has turned around. Now, his personality is such, sometimes I think he tries too hard. He tries to win over media members. He tries to win over players. But it seems to be working with his guys now.
He's still a laughingstock around the league.
Ouch.
He is.
I don't know.
Oh,
that's
come
tough.
On, man. Doc Rivers ripping him the other day.
I think right out of the gate, though, that seems to have waned a little bit. And it's for things like Teddy's just talking about here. He seems to have softened and is growing on the job. It appears, anyway.
I think it's waned in-house. I think he's got... he's got people who like him more here, like Zach and other things you're talking about. But just the other night with the timeout with 14 seconds to go, and that coach got pissed off and didn't bother to do the handshake or the wave. When Steve Kerr was here earlier, do you remember? He kind of blew him off after that game. He kind of just, and gave him the half wave because he's a Fred guy, and the perception is that Boylan went behind his back.
I tell you what, I went to the Wiz game the other night, just took my kids just as a fan, and Jabari Parker, he is exactly what they acquired and now what they've given up, man. He is a classic NBA guy, big-time scorer, also a very good passer. I'm sure he's no fan of Jim Boylan, so the Bulls had to get him out of there because, you know, he really was Jim's whipping boy.
I don't fault Jim for that. I don't fault Boylan for that because Jabari's willingness to be that guy who scores points on a bad team, like, he would love that career. Sign me up for that career.
I don't. They don't pay guys $20 million a year to play defense.
Right.
I don't care if I win. I want money.
I would like to score 22, 23 points a game for any franchise somewhere. Playoffs, not necessarily interested.
Screw you,
go to Washington.
Right, and look, the NBA needs guys like that. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's trashing Zach LaVine, who's saying he's not a winning player and he's not an able, or, you know, he's not going to play defense. I'm like, all right, some of that is true. Absolutely. He's not going to make our guys around him great. He's not going to have a high assist rate. But somebody has to get you to 120 points, right?
Yeah, well, and I've been really trying to watch Zach for that kind of development, and I think you got to give him some credit for, as a playmaker. He's gotten better at, like, driving and creating. I don't know that I've seen better on the ball defense, but I don't know that we ever will. But it's like, see, he's not the best player on a real good team.
Right. And that's why you got to have that balance. That's why you got to have Wendell Young. You got to have
Wendell Carter.
I said Wendell Young. He's the goalie.
Wendell
from the
Young.
Wolves,
yes, right? His jersey number one hangs from the rafters at Allstate Arena. He also was a backup for Tom Barrasso and the Pittsburgh Penguins when they won the cups in 91 and 92.
That's tremendous.
If his jersey were here, you'd keep it up, right?
Yes, you would keep that up. You're with me on
where
color.
Where is the color
though.
Jersey?
It's in the
man.
Other room.
And by the way,
us.
Literally when you said that, Mac, I thought of him immediately.
Is that right? You knew right away. Knowing
Mac.
Knowing Mac and knowing how Chicago feels about that.
Right. Apparently, there's an Eli Manning jersey back there.
Is there really?
I think people would respect that more than the color jersey.
Well, at least it's won a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
There's some show in suburban New York today where they're talking about busting an Eli Manning framed jersey in the parking lot after they're done. Maybe not. Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune. We got to take a timeout. We'll come back. You can hang, right?
Come on now, you
spent half the day getting here, so you can. I know you city guys don't like that much windshield time, right?
You know it.
By the way, Peoria Madden texted and said all that Cutler jersey needs is a better frame and better matting, and then it would look great. It would really be good.
That'd be perfect. Peoria Matt hitting him out of the park as always.
McNeil
with Spiegel sitting in for Danny Parkins today. We're back in a few minutes on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, there were some things Aaron didn't do a very good job of, and yet you know what, happened, I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one-and-done time, you know? The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it. So that's what it was. I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo late yesterday afternoon after his team came very, very close to squandering away its first-round matchup. And there's a lot of conversation on social media, on the air, television, radio last night. All the rusty scribes are busy pecking away going after Tom Izzo because he dared to question the profession. And Teddy, we talked about this a little while ago, and you probably heard some of the commentary, but for those who weren't with us, I saw a guy coaching his team last night. I didn't see anything out of the ordinary, and I, like Matt, I was surprised this morning to see so much over-the-top reaction to it.
I chimed in this morning as well. My sports editor, my boss, said, hey, you want to jump in on Izzo? And hey, like Izzo says, we're all accountable, so the boss asks you to write, you go ahead and write. My take was very similar to yours. You know, when you sign up to play for Tom Izzo, you know what's going to happen. It's like when you go to eat at McDonald's, you might end up feeling like you got a brick in your stomach. When you go to eat at Alinea, you might you know, realize that you got to sell your car or something. I mean, everybody knows what Izzo's all about. He's an old school coach. He's a coach's coach. Where did Fred Hoiberg send his kid to play?
Yeah.
Jack Hoiberg plays for Tom Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not abuse. My only question was, did you guys see the second half of that game? Aaron Henry was brutal in the second half after he got yelled at.
Maybe it doesn't work for Aaron Henry.
I wonder.
Maybe we're seeing a wrong-headed approach. That doesn't mean it's, you know, for that particular kid. Maybe that's a kid who's not going to respond well to it. That doesn't mean the approach itself was out of line just because it made you uncomfortable to watch it.
Yeah, and I was totally fine watching it. I mean, it's a little rude to point, but, you know, this is not, it's not like society is out there on the court. I just saw Henry afterwards, like, he blocked a shot. He was under the basket. He threw it to the wrong team. He tried an inbounds pass. That was wrong. He blew a dunk. So I think he was out there suddenly like, oh, God, don't screw up again. And he kept screwing up. Now, down the stretch, he did make like a 8-foot jumper, and he hit a couple free throws. So that was my only question about it, man. Is he doing it to the wrong guy?
Probably.
The optic that makes it, I think, difficult for some to accept is a player holding on to his coach, separating Henry from the head coach. That's what probably has got people all bunched up about this thing. But he's a freshman, but this is big-time college basketball, man.
You know, it's interesting because, obviously, Mac, you go back to remembering Woody Hayes punching a guy on the sidelines for Ohio State. I just watched...
A Clemson player, yes.
Was a Clemson player?
Yes, it was a Clemson player.
Take that, Parkins.
I go back to Bobby Knight, who loved Woody Hayes, you know, and just recently watched that Bobby Knight 30 for 30, which is brilliant. The guy from the Washington, from USA Today, who went and did the piece on Bobby Knight, saved his notes for years and years, and has, what was the player, Neil Reed. Neil Reed.
Jinx.
So, yeah, Neil Reed, who had ended up moving out west, becoming a coach and passing away in his 30s, but had his life deeply affected. You know, if Tom Izzo suddenly went over the edge and punched a kid or did that kind of thing, then would we be talking about how his entire career we should have seen this coming? Because that's what we ended up talking about with Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've seen any of those kind of signs, really, with Izzo.
No, I mean, Bobby Knight, brilliant coach, miserable human being. Tom Izzo, great, great coach, wonderful guy,
right,
funny
seemingly,
guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a guy, Xavier Tillman, who's like blown four dunks this year. So Izzo's line in Chicago was, I just found out he's afraid of heights. He's a great guy to be around. I mean, you saw this parade of former Izzo players on Twitter yesterday coming out of their way to defend him. So the guy's been to seven Final Fours. He's the guy who brought the Big Ten its last national championship. I mean, I guess if he extends his finger a little bit more and that goes from pointing to poking,
right? But there's still not
an issue.
There's still not a history and a
no,
lineage.
No, there isn't. And there was a considerable history with Bob Knight before he finally hung himself in Bloomington before taking that job in Texas.
Yeah.
Doing things to dehumanize players, making one player get his own ride home from West Lafayette to Bloomington because he was unhappy with him. Mike Giomi was that player. he canceled the team banquet, the senior banquet in 92 or 93 because he wasn't. I mean, those guys put 4 years of effort into that program, and he was a jackass.
Yeah.
That's just not acceptable. Tom Izzo is not at that level of a Holyo.
Right, Knight. Exactly. Well said. Knight was also that guy who demanded.
Well said until you got to Aholio and made up a word.
I'm a fan. It's like Julio. You know, Knight was the guy who demanded discipline from his players and then is the most undisciplined human being himself. Izzo's not like that, man. He is accountable. When he screws up, when he does a bad coaching job, he fesses up.
You know what's funny? Like, what do we always say about Michigan State teams, and I've said it for decades now about Tom Izzo? They are disciplined. They bust their ass.
They defend.
They work harder than anybody. They rebound better than anybody.
Give me a Zach Randolph.
Right, but they're so physical. Like, they're just he builds tough guys.
Did you see the turnover stats yesterday? The whole team had 9. Aaron Henry had 5, all in the second half. So, I mean, that's pretty good when the rest of your entire team has just 4 turnovers over the entire game. And look, I covered those games at the United Center over the weekend. Michigan had all this momentum. Michigan had won 10 straight Big Ten tournament games, had won 2 straight tournaments. They go in. Michigan is up late. Michigan State scores the final 10 points in the game, wins the crowd. So if the players didn't like him, if they hadn't bought in, that's not going to happen.
Speaking of the Big Ten, they were 5-0 yesterday.
Oh, my.
They're 1-0 today.
Iowa punches out Cincy.
Cincy.
So they're 6-0 after nobody nobody was really high on most of these teams.
I mean,
really,
the Big Ten had
Michigan State.
Yeah, Big Ten had an incredible year, and then I looked at some of the matchups, and it's like, ooh, so they're playing against Cincinnati, and that game was in Columbus, right? There were just a bunch that looked like it was going to be tough. Minnesota seemed to have a tough task. I think Wisconsin's got a tough one today against Oregon. Oregon is... You know, in a terrible league like the Pac-12, but Oregon's got a ton of momentum.
Yeah, exactly. They've played really well of late. They won that tournament. They've got some really decent bigs. And Wisconsin, does anybody, who can get their own shot on Wisconsin?
Well,
other than Happ.
Yeah, I mean, if you feed it to Happ,
right.
it might be 17 dribbles later, and then he's going to try to throw a Kevin McHale at you.
There's no Devin Harris.
That's good. They need a little Devin Harris. That's a little inside joke there, huh?
I can say in Spiegelese.
It's just, yeah, I own a vowel sound.
I
own two vowel sounds.
Two, the short A and the short O.
Yeah, there's a singer who gives us both Maren Morris. Maren Morris. It gives us both. It helps us get
you
it out of the
like,
way.
You sound like a Jewish grandpa when you say that.
My own, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune, nice enough to drive out to Naperville to visit with us today. Spiegel and I are broadcasting from Draft Picks, 523 Fairway Drive in Naperville, as I mentioned, with Miller Lite. What's on tap broadcast on a feel-good Friday. We're here until 6. Tim Doyle will check in a couple of hours. We'll get his takes on the first couple of days of the tournament. Purdue advances. I love Carson Edwards, but I don't know how deep they can go. Is it an upset if they're playing again next weekend?
I think it would be just because late in the season they scuffled so much.
Right.
Now they were due for a better performance. I mean, Carson Edwards has had some hideous shooting games lately, including in the Big Ten tournament. And then I think he had won at Minnesota late in the season. So that was good to see yesterday. I mean, it's nice to see him win. I didn't see much of that game because the score was so down, it looked like it was going to be so boring. I mean, mm-hmm. I had some other games on. But, yeah, I mean, at that point, Purdue just needs to get its confidence back. It had a really good regular season but then faltered late.
Virginia's in trouble again to a 16 seed.
No, stop that.
No.
Yeah,
let's
I mean,
count.
No
it's,
kidding.
It's early, but they're down 8.
Wow, Gardner, no, 12.
Yeah. In fact, it's not really that early. As a matter of fact, there's 8 minutes left in the first half, and they're down 26-14.
Oh, Gardner Webb.
They'll be fine.
Are we going to have, like, I heard you guys doing, like, the fake expert analysis. Yeah, I'm going to go on here. Oh, well, Gardner Webb's got a great backcourt.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I listened to a podcast the other day on my way to the Calcutta draft so I could pretend that I've been watching basketball all year. And that guy, it was with Tom Haberstroh. And whoever he was talking to was saying, yeah, Gardner Webb could give him a shot. I wish I had more information. I just referenced, you know, third party, a podcast I listened to, and I gave you nothing.
So you didn't purchase Gardner Webb in your Calcutta, is what you're telling me.
You
could have had him for a dollar,
yeah,
right?
We're not allowed. You get the field. 13 through 16 just counts as the field. That's one choice for everybody.
Did you? Were you guys on Wofford last night? Wofford was.
I'm not playing any of these games individually. I made the largest bet I've ever made on a sporting event before it started. I have Duke. We have Duke for $1,000 to win it all at +225.
I heard that, and I heard the debate of versus just taking the money lines. But right then, you got to spend about $1,900 to win a couple quarters for some of these early games. I also like Duke. You know, I was telling people though, if you're in a pool with a lot of guys, let's say you're in a pool with like 100 people, 100 brackets, don't take Duke. Because half the people are going to take Duke.
Right.
You still got to do so well in the early games. So at that point, if you need value, do like the Zags or, well, maybe Virginia or North Carolina. But, Mac, I'm with you. I mean, I'd certainly pick Duke.
You know, this is what this tournament has become for me, and maybe it's always been for a lot of people, is like I have a family pool. I'm in charge of the bracket challenge for the family. I do over there on CBSSports.com. I'll set everybody up. And every year, my dad texts me and says, did I do it right? And I got to go on there and check and make sure. Every year, his best friend, Jack, who I've always called Uncle Jack, he doesn't know how to use a computer. He calls me up and he gives me his picks. All right, give me North Dakota State. And he gives me one by one and I input them for him, right? And then there's like an email or text thread where we're just giving each other the business for 3 weeks, just trash talking, dear beloved family.
Oh.
That's what this stuff is about to me.
I wasn't expecting that. You're crushing your relatives knowing that Gardner Webb's going to upset Virginia?
Right, or gently. Or like my sister will say, I'm in first, just so everybody knows, you know?
That's cute. You're
like, hey, is Joe out yet? Is he out yet? Because he always goes out first. That kind of thing.
I do. So what happens the week of the NCAA tournament for me is I get all these texts. All right, man, I need the expert opinion. So this year, here's my standard response. Guys, if sports writers could predict the outcome of games, there wouldn't be any sports writers.
Right? You would have quit.
We're all flipping coins. No question. We're all throwing darts. I mean, I was reading, like, Jay Billis had a couple little snippet picks in what he had said, take the under on Gonzaga, which hit, and he said absolutely Arizona State is going to beat St. John's, and that hit. But I was looking back at all of his predictions today. He missed a ton, and he knows more about this stuff than anybody.
Right. That's what makes it so fun, is that you could, you know, gain some knowledge for 10 minutes before you do your bracket, and then you're good.
It remains a great event. It is a fun event. It's my favorite basketball season. It's 3 weeks. I think the NBA should go for 3 weeks and then start the playoffs. I'd watch more NBA. That'd be good for me. Yeah. But Danny is not old enough to remember this. Shep is not old enough. I brought this up yesterday. You guys do remember the 80s and Villanova, Georgetown, the early 90s when the Duke regime was being built, the Fab Five. Yes. I mean, college basketball's golden era, I think you'd agree, would be mid-80s to mid-90s.
Yeah, I mean, it was great when the players stayed 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal stayed for 3 years. That's all you need to know about how much things have changed. So, Danny Mac, for me, it's going back to the Big East in the 80s, and I was a big St. John's fan, and it's Walter Berry and Chris Mullin and Bill Wennington and Willie Glass and Shelton Jones. And those games were such a big deal when they play against Providence and Georgetown and evil Patrick Ewing and all that.
And
so,
Pitt with Charles Smith and Sean Miller.
Send it in, Jerome, with Jerome
Lane and Bill Raftery doing those games.
They ain't coming back, but we still get the brilliance of guys like Zion and Ja and Barry.
But it's so weird because the best are one and done, and then you get these inevitable matchups at this time of year. All right, who's got senior guards? Well, the tiny little mid-majors.
Exactly.
Probably Gardner Webb.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Or you know, and then that's what you get against kids who have been together for 4 or 5 months trying to find chemistry.
Well, I like the contrast now because you have programs like Notre Dame and Wisconsin and what Northwestern is aspiring to be. Develop players, have sophomores, juniors, and seniors who are your main guys. And then you have the one and dones. And then you have a lot of programs in between like Michigan State. Michigan might have some two and done, so there are different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What exactly is Northwestern trying to build,
great
by
question.
The way? It's a rough year, man.
Trying to fill a roster at this point.
That's a step back.
It's been a rough 100 years or however long they've been playing
with one
NCAA tournament appearance in school history.
Yeah.
It's the most under-publicized disaster
in
Chicago sport.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem like a lot of people care about it. But
they got there, and people did care, and it was super fun.
Yeah.
But then Loyola eclipsed them completely as a local story, and now Northwestern has slid backwards. And it's
not acceptable, though. It really isn't. You know, they've been for 25 years now, the football program, whether it was Gary Barnett, Randy Walker, or Pat Fitzgerald for the last 13 years, they expect to win 7, 8, 9 games every year. They expect to go to bowl games. They expect victory was the Barnett slogan, and they lived up to it.
Well, they figured that part out. You're absolutely right. They figured
you can have a dozen
out.
Guys to do that in the Big Ten in football. You only need 2 or 3 in basketball, and they've been to one freaking tournament?
Yeah, parents must not be paying enough to bribe coaches to lower the standards and get them in.
Oh, but the sailing team is looking so good this spring. Unbelievable. No, it's, Matt, we talked about it a little bit in the last show, man. I still think it's easier in football to get it done because a guy can be the 1,000th ranked recruit in the country and 3 or 4 years later can be an All-Big Ten player. Basketball players tend to be more fully formed if you're not in that top 200. It's hard to become a great player, and if you have the grades to get into Northwestern, Duke, Michigan, Stanford, Iowa, Illinois, everybody's going to pursue you. That said, they got it done a couple years ago with no facilities. Now they got great facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So find some good players and develop them.
Thank you for coming out here to Naperville, Teddy G.
I enjoyed it,
guys. You are very, very nice to do that. Thank you. He's Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune.
Under 7 minutes left in the first half, Gardner Webb is up by 12 points still on Virginia.
What a world.
I saw Shep tweeted this, and I don't think he's wrong. Is it 14 now? It's 14 points.
Yep.
They're down 30-16 with 6.5 left. And Gardner Webb can shoot. If they lose again to a 16, ban them from the tournament for 3 years? Just no matter how good you are. Sorry, you can't come in. You're upsetting our apple cart, and we just can't have it.
I think it's
way.
The opposite. Invite them every year. This is exciting, man. The 1-for-16s are usually terrible. This is actually something to watch.
Give them the one seed no matter what they
Perfect.
Do.
Little Friday afternoon fun.
Have a great weekend, Teddy. Thanks, man.
Thanks, boys.
He's Teddy Greenstein. Speaks is in from Parkins. I'm Mac. It's the Score Sports Radio 670.
One out of two. The clock ticks. Here's Cumberland for three. No, it is Bear with the rebound, and that's going to do it. The Iowa Hawkeyes making it a perfect run for the Big Ten. 6-0 is the Big Ten as Iowa advances to the second round.
And hearing the soundbite gets the groan from my partner today, Matt Spiegel. Another one bites the dust as the Big Ten continues to flourish early in the 2019 NCAA tournament. Congrats to the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, and to the Hawkeye fans out there here in the Mecca of the Midwest. Lots of Big Ten fans of every stripe in this part of the world, and good for them.
Good for you. For all of the great Iowa players of eras gone by, the A.C. Earls and Wade Looking Bills.
The Jess Settles.
Adam Haluska. Uh-huh. Haluska, that's a great Wayne Larrabee name.
Let's go to B.J. Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there somewhere the ghost of George Raveling is very happy. Is he alive, George Raveling?
If he has a ghost, I'm guessing no.
Well, it's sometimes you guess people are dead
George
and you're wrong.
Raveling.
George Raveling. Who did Parkins killed somebody the other day when we were working together. I forget who we killed. Anyway, I just killed George Raveling if he's not dead. College basketball is so weird now, man, because our youths are on display on the coaching staffs with graying hair.
Yes, I know.
I'm watching Chris Mullen versus Bobby Hurley as the coaches the other night, and Chris Mullen has already not only does he not look like a player, he doesn't even look like a human anymore. He's turned into like undead zombie category. It's just unbelievable. And Bobby Hurley is fully gray, and somehow I'm incredibly old.
Yeah, people get old.
How dare they?
Yeah, Chris Mullen lived very hard for the first, his early adult years anyway, and his early years as a pro. He lived at the bottom of a glass and was pretty public about that. One of the first athletes I heard talk about very openly his alcohol addiction. And so that could be part of the reason he looks like he's lived a million years.
Also, he makes,
I almost said lived a million miles.
A million miles.
How do you live a mile?
And he continues to make terrible hair choices. Like when your head is a funky looking, don't cut it that short and show everybody your head. I can't stop looking at it. Cover it up with some hair.
McNeil and Spiegel brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats playoff hockey. The first place Chicago Wolves return to Allstate Arena next Saturday as they look to clinch another playoff berth. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia. For information, visit chicagowolves.com. Something I don't do a ton of with Danny that I want to do with you in a little bit is do a little rock and roll conversation. Germane to the upcoming Elton John biopic that's coming out.
Uh-huh. Which does
I have trepidation over it.
So do I. All I saw was the preview, which I saw before Bohemian Rhapsody. They paired it with that.
Yeah, and I want to dissect a little bit Bohemian Rhapsody, which earned the lead an Oscar, and I thought he deserved it. I thought Rami was terrific as Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. I absolutely thought he nailed it, but I didn't love the picture. Thought it checked a lot of boxes. We'll get into it and what maybe some down the road good ideas would be for rock biopics.
Ooh.
Because now that everybody is approaching the zenith of their lives, everybody's on the 18th green. You got Elton John, you got all these rockers in their early 70s. It seems like Hollywood wants to give us more.
Yeah.
And people want it because a lot of baby boomers who grew up with these bands are wanting it.
Isn't there a Bowie movie coming? I think I read about a Bowie movie coming about the Ziggy Stardust era.
Does Jeff Bridges play him? Starman?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, circuitous way to get
old, I had to go around the reference circle.
Right, exactly.
I had to tie a yellow ribbon around the reference pole to get that one. But I got there.
All right, so we will we will get into that in just a few minutes.
And you were at the Hawks last night.
I did see a little hockey last night. There was a little bit of hockey played.
And I have a football... Yeah. I have a that's the team.
Mike Milbury.
Oh God.
The Hawks.
I have a football broadcasting angle to discuss with you, which we've already enjoyed. And at some point, you got to hand me Bob McElwee for your stack of ref cards.
Oh man, it's Christmas came early today. It's we're 9 months away from Christmas, and Shep stuffed my sock today for me. It's McNeil with Spiegel sitting in for Parkinson on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.